Moving on with more news about wildfires, it was last June that the Erskine Fire devastated communities around Lake Isabella in Kern County. Nearly 300 homes were destroyed in the fast-moving blaze in communities like South Lake. Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom reached out to the Federal Emergency Management Agency for help. Then, late last month, FEMA released its response. They said no to a major disaster declaration and the federal help that accompanies it. That left many locals shocked and dismayed. Here to tell us more is the Bakersfield Californian's Lois Henry. Lois, welcome.
Hey, Joe.
First, before we get into the FEMA thing, about a month after the fire was contained, what's the situation like on the ground right now outside Lake Isabella?
Well, I haven't been up there in a couple of weeks, but from what I've been monitoring online, it's a whole lot of volunteer organizations working really hard to network with people and keep communications up and find ways to provide the right services to the right people at the right time. You know, when something like this happens, you know, human beings need different things all the time. And so the volunteer organizations have kind of banded together and they've created this all for one movement where one organization is trying to sort of coordinate with everybody else. You know, so one person can go to one organization and say, this is what I need. And then that organization, you know, sends out the need request and finds the order. It's kind of amazing, actually, how this community has really come together, which is unfortunately, I think, one of the things that FEMA is looking at that's penalizing it by saying, well, you have enough voluntary organizations, you don't need our help, which I think is really unfair.
Yeah. So exactly why did FEMA reject this? It seems shocking looking at this, the surface of the situation. You had so many people lose their homes. Many of them did not have insurance. This is not the most affluent community out there. Why did FEMA reject this?
Well, when I spoke with FEMA, this is another interesting thing, you know, as a journalist, and you'll understand this. It's like it's a public organization funded by public dollars, and another public entity, the state, and another public entity, the county, are trying to work with them to try to, and yet they were very cagey about how they made the decision and why and what factors were more relevant than other factors. Because there's a list of about 10 or, you know, maybe a dozen factors that FEMA is supposed to look at. One is the household threshold. You know, if more than 801 homes burn, that's an automatic. You get help. You get a disaster declaration. And in this case, it was 290 homes. And then there's, you know, if everybody involved has private insurance, then they're considered to be taken care of. And that's not the case in this situation either. And then they have other factors like special populations. If special populations are affected, and those can be poor, disabled, veterans. Well, we have a whole lot of poor, disabled, and veterans, you know, all of the above up there. And then they're supposed to consider impact on the community and the sort of the density of the destruction. Well, Southlake, almost in its entirety, was destroyed. And when you look at the area that was destroyed as a percentage of the overall population of the Kern River Valley, it's a huge impact. This is not Los Angeles. You know, I mean, 290 homes in Los Angeles would barely even register, really. Here, it is a huge percentage of the population, and it is very poor. And anyway, so when I spoke with FEMA, I really tried to pin them down on, you know, which factors played more heavily than other factors, you know, and, you know, was there some sort of formula, some sort of percentage that they would use? I thought there must be, and they just sort of kept saying, well, you know, more than 200 people have already applied for homeowner insurance, and, you know, they're getting help. And I'm like, well, yeah, that might be true, but those people might be the landlords, and because most people in South Lake were renters. So where are those renters going to go? I mean, it's just sort of on and on.
So
and they also said, well, we feel that the county and the state have the resources to handle this. And I said, because the county asked me, if FEMA tells you there are state resources, please ask them what resources those are, because the county was not getting that information. So I asked FEMA, what state resources are you listing as being enough to take care of this situation? And they said they couldn't tell me. And I was like, wait a minute.
As in they couldn't tell you if they didn't know, or they couldn't tell you because this is some state secret?
It turned out that it was kind of both, as it turned out. The woman's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, what do you mean? If you're telling me state resources were a defining factor in your denial of this declaration, I assume you have a list of actual programs and the funding available to those programs that tipped your decision. And she said, well, you know, that's just all in the state packet. It's all in the state packet, meaning the state application for aid. And I was like, well, no, Gavin Newsom in his letter says the state does not have resources to do this. She says, well, it's in their state packet. And because it's their state packet, it's not our information to release. I'm like, wait a minute. You're a public organization funded by public tax dollars. The state provided this to you as a request for public tax. Give me this information. This is a ridiculous game. Now I was mad. She wouldn't do it. She said, well, you're going to have to call, you know, Cal OES, the Office of Emergency Services. I'm like, all right, this is, you know, it was just pointless to talk to her anymore. So I called Cal OES, and the Cal OES guy was like, I mean, he was just silent on the phone for a few minutes. He was like, what? Here, and he sent me the whole packet. He's like, I'll send you everything we sent them. And sure enough, it says, the state does not have the resources to handle this. So it was just a silly game, and I got tired of it. And it's what I think it comes down to is more than 200 of the homeowners of the 290 homes did apply for insurance. They actually had homeowners insurance. I don't know how much coverage they had. I don't know if how many of them were landlords and maybe, you know, they're going to get repaid, but doesn't mean that they have to rebuild or re-rent at a price that these folks can afford. And I know that the woman, the FEMA woman, mentioned the volunteer organizations numerous times to me. So I think this community is penalized because people were responsible enough to have insurance, and they are, you know, good-hearted enough to have a very strong volunteer organization safety net. And I think that's highly, highly unfair because these people also pay federal taxes. And you and I and everybody in Kern County pay federal taxes, and that money goes to FEMA for such an emergency. I mean, there is no other emergency that I can think of unless the dam broke where we would need FEMA. I mean, nobody wants FEMA because, come on, you know, hey, they're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. I mean, you know, not exactly the most organized organization, but when you need them, you need them. And it's just really frustrating that they found whatever they could to not give us a minimum of help.
Do you think there's Do you think there's any politics at play?
Many people have talked about this being a very conservative area, and maybe being backlash against Kevin McCarthy, because Kevin McCarthy has been working really hard trying to call the White House, trying to really, you know, give people an idea of what it's like. Because unless you've been to South Lake, you may not know. The pictures may not show, tell you. I mean, you can stand in the middle of South Lake and do a 360, and there's just nothing but devastation. I mean, it really looks like a bomb went off. The garden gnomes are melted, Joe. I mean, this was horrible. So a lot of people have speculated that this is sort of a, you know, the Democrats are in charge of Homeland Security at this point, which is, you know, over FEMA. But if that's the case, then shame on whoever that happened to. And I hope nothing ever happened, whoever made that decision, because if this ever happened to their hometown, you know, God forbid. Because it's just horrible. I mean, you got people with families and kids, and it's just when you start thinking of the trickle down of the damage that's done, people are camping and they're living in their cars and they're trying to hold together families, and they have nothing, literally nothing. It's like, Joe, you walked out of your office today and that was it. You have no other possessions, zero.
So I understand there is some state aid and actually some FEMA trailers that might make their way to South Lake. What's the status of that?
Right, and that's not a structured FEMA decision. This was happenstance, and it was a lot of people that sort of just heard about it and decided, let's think out of the box and move this stuff here. So the state aid that people have access to and is extremely important for people to get this aid is that they are going out and they are, for free of charge for the residents, they are clearing away the debris. And we're talking about, you know, I mean, this is hazardous debris, and it has to be handled appropriately and carefully. And so the state is doing that. They are clearing those lots, and that is exceptionally helpful. The other thing is, in the course of all of this, you know, will FEMA give us a declaration? Won't they? Kevin McCarthy was the one that heard about these 71 unused trailers that FEMA brought to the Valley and Butte fires last year. And by the way, the Valley fire destroyed 1,200 homes, the Butte Fire destroyed 549, which was below the 800 threshold, and yet they got a FEMA disaster declaration, I'm just going to say. Anyway, so those 71 trailers were never used. They were brought out, and they were held here in case there was massive flooding that displaced more people out of the Butte Fire. And that never happened, but those FEMA trailers were getting ready to be shipped back east to where they're stored. And I guess McCarthy and all of this, you know, heard about it and was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And, you know, informed the Cal OES, and Cal OES was like, whoa, hold on to that stuff. Let's see if we can use it for the Erskine Fire victims. So it's going to be very limited, though, as to who qualifies for this, because you have to be a property owner, because the idea is they're going to bring these trailers down here. The FEMA is giving them to the state, and the state is going to give them to the property owners. So you have to be a property owner. You have to be under a certain income threshold and or disabled or veteran. I mean, there's a lot of eligibility hoops you're going to have to jump through. So it's going to help some people, and that's very nice. But it also isn't the comprehensive individual assistance that FEMA could provide. And also there is the SBA, Small Business Administration, did do a disaster declaration, which means they can go in and they can give low interest rate loans to people. But again, you know, those are eligibility, you know, requirements could prevent a lot of people from being able to access that. And the interest rates, when I looked at the interest rates, today's interest rates are so low, I kind of was like, I don't know if this, I would call this low interest rates. But it is some help. So those are the things that are happening. And then the volunteer organizations are really working with the county to try and, you know, get clothes and food and toiletries. I mean, people don't have hairbrushes. It just, you know, it just is amazing when you start to really think about what's going on up there.
Is the county, looking back at how this has played out, the county really prepared for a disaster like this, especially given the financial state Kern County is in right now with the massive budget cuts across the board? We've already heard evidence of the challenges that public safety is facing right now. But what about the disaster response? Is the county able to step up at this point?
Well, when I spoke with Georgiana Armstrong, she's the manager of our Office of Emergency Services here, she said the county has never faced anything like this. I think everybody was just sort of caught, like, dumbfounded as to the swiftness and the viciousness of this fire that just, you know, took everything from people overnight. I mean, it wasn't like one of these long, slow burns where people were even able to evacuate. As far as the safety response, you know, cuts are coming, like, to the fire department, but all of the stations up there were fully manned. It's just that they're very sparsely populated, and so these fire stations are, you know, out and about, and there's only three firefighters per station. So, you know, when this thing hit and the winds shifted, it was, even if you'd had, like, you know, just a battalion of firefighters standing there, I don't know what they could have done, because this thing was just so everything I've heard from people is it just was like a freight train coming through.
Before we go, I want to change subjects here and go to one of your other passions, water, and something that you've been writing about lately. And in case our listeners haven't heard or haven't read one of your latest columns about water in the South Valley, there's this new planned community by the Tejon Ranch right at the base of the Grapevine. It's going to have thousands of new homes,
but the big question is 12,000
new homes. The big question has been, where are they going to get the water? And I guess we found out it's essentially being bankrolled by something that happened over a decade ago, a public funding that came over a decade ago. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's almost like you need a diagram to follow this. It's the nickel water, and I call it the nickel water because it's owned by the Nickel Family LLC. The Nickels, who are direct descendants of Henry Miller, they're farmers. They own land up at the mouth of the river, and they also owned a ranch in Kings County called the Hacienda Ranch. And when the Kern River would flood, and I mean, it has to be a really high flood, they'd get a slug of water up there on the Kings River, right? So when the Lake Isabella was built in 1952, about 10 years later, George Nickel started making noise saying, hey, you know what, if you guys regulate the flow of the Kern River, I'm never going to get my, quote, right to this high flow water. And so they, you know, went back and forth and back and forth, and, you know, sure, there was legal wrangling back and forth, as there always is over water. And ultimately, he perfected that right. Everyone agreed that, okay, he has a right to this high flow river, and we'll give him rental storage in Lake Isabella so he can be assured to get that water when the river does flow high. And there's a calculation for how that all works out and stuff like that. So fast forward to the year 2000, and Tom Clark, who was then the head of the Kern County Water Agency, and by the way, had worked for George Nickel previously, he made a deal with George so that the Kern County Water Agency bought that right from the Nickel family to that high-flow water. And that involved giving the Nickel family $10 million, which the agency got from Proposition 13 funding, not the property tax Prop 13, but the Prop 13, which was the Water Reliability, Safety, and Quality Act that was passed by the voters in 2000. And so Kern County Water Agency actually got $13 million off of that proposition and gave $10 million to the Nickel family in order to get that hacienda right. Plus, the agency promised the Nickel family to give them 10,000 acre-feet of water come drought or wet year, no matter what, in perpetuity.
So essentially they turned a right to something that only happened in a big flood into a permanent right for a smaller amount of water that they got all the time, and then this water they're getting all the time, they're guaranteed to get, it's now
right,
winding up
every year
at Grapevine Ranch?
And yeah, so they've sold that, Nickel family has sold that water piece by piece to different development, like the Newhall Ranch got a piece of it, an organization called CV Communities, which wants to build a gigantic new subdivision up by Lancaster, got a piece of it, and ultimately Tejon Ranch got a piece of it. 6,000 acre feet, give or take. And so, so the Tejon Ranch is like, oh, well, we're going to go ahead and build this 12,000 home development based on this, quote, nickel water. And to a certain extent, some people have argued to me, well, that means, because this is Kern River water, and I have a real problem with Kern River water leaving Kern County when we have, you know, our aquifer is, you know, upside down and we are screaming and yelling for water out of the Delta. It's like, why on earth would we let any Kern River, not a drop should go anywhere except right here. So some people have argued, well, that means that they're going to be keeping the water here for use in Kern County. And I guess that's true, except it's also, you know, do we really need 12,000? I have an argument against the development in the first place of, like, do we really need 12,000 homes? Where are our jobs? I mean, you know, oil is shedding jobs continually, even to this day. And then the trickle down of layoffs in other industries is just, you know, devastating us constantly. So it's like, well, where are these 12,000 homes? Who's going to afford them? Where are we going to get the jobs? And why should we spend 6,000 acre feet of water on new homes and parks when we can't even fill the vacancy rate we have now? So, you know, I got a little problem with it.
You can continue to read about that and other things in California's water wars in the Bakersfield, California. And Lois Henry covers that and all sorts of happenings in Kern County. She joins us today on Valley Edition talking about water and about the devastation of the Erskine Fire, the communities there, South Lake and others that were so hard hit last June by that blaze, and searching for disaster assistance. Lois, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks, Joe.